Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to read some scriptures here. This is going to be, this is kind of strange probably for some of you. You're like, what in the world is a duck dynasty? And why is that so important? And why do you want to talk about this? Well, let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, we need you, Lord. I pray you'd give wisdom and guidance and direction and understanding, Lord. I pray that you'd answer our prayers. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to hearts. Help us to understand this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read these scriptures to you. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6 through 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, that's the reason we're bringing this up tonight. Some of you probably never heard. Who's never heard of Duck Dynasty before? Anybody that's never heard of it? A few of you probably never heard of it before. Have you ever heard of Duck Dynasty? Okay, these are long bearded guys. And nothing against their beards. I actually am kind of jealous. But anyway, their beards are real nice. They're real long and they got big old beards and they got long hair and they kind of have this folksy country, image. They make duck callers, you know, the duck callers, you know, they're very popular. They have a reality television show that is very popular. I mean, it actually, do you know what I'm talking about now? Okay, and they're actually, you know, as far as people go, not talking about saved or lost, but just people in general, I think they're good guys from that standpoint. I don't mean good as in godly and understand what I mean. I mean they're decent men. I mean I think they want to do right. They have some good morality about them, and listen, they even preach about Jesus sometimes when some of these guys are preachers. They'll even preach about Jesus. The problem is what they're preaching. And that's what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the show and a little bit about what they're preaching and that they're using their popularity to push something. And this is the danger. They're using it to push a false gospel. They're using it to push something and they're reaching tons of people with it. I mean, 11.1 million people tuned into their season premiere, the other week. 11.1. Now that's on a cable network. That broke records. It broke records for cable television, for any show on cable television. And, I mean, they're Southern folks. I think you'd probably like them. You'd sit down and eat a meal with them. You'd probably go to their shop and look at it maybe. And, you know, I mean, you would think they're just folksy type people. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't think anything bad of them or anything like that. And I'm not doing this to try to besmirch these men or to just make them look bad or say that they're just really, really carnally wicked and evil. I don't think it's to that point. But the problem is that the doctrine that they're preaching and they're using their popularity to preach is sending people to hell. It's not the gospel found in the scriptures. They add something to that. Now, before I preface that, let me say this. I'm often accused, and my brethren are often accused of adding repentance to the gospel. Repentance is all over the gospel. Repentance is a preparation of the heart to receive the gospel. Repentance, let me be very clear here. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart, understanding that I'm a lost sinner and that I need Jesus Christ to save my soul and to save me from my sins. Amen. The bonus of that is getting a home in heaven. Amen. I get that because Jesus gave me an inheritance. Amen. That's why. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to go to hell. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad. Flee from the wrath to come. Amen. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to go to hell. Since somebody said, I got saved because I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's okay. But did you understand that you're a sinner? Did you understand that you needed a Savior? That your sins are why you're going to hell. That you're a sinner. That's why. Because you sin. And your sin has separated you from your God. Amen. Repentance can be seen all over the Bible. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, the repentance is a work then. No, it's not a work. Well, it is a work. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. I didn't give myself repentance like that, okay? When someone preached the gospel to me, the Holy Ghost of God reproved in my heart and said, on my heart and said, you're lost. How many times have you told a man he's lost and he don't listen, he don't believe you? You've seen that a lot, haven't you? You've tried to explain to people you're lost and you're dying. You're going to hell. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. And they look, no, I'm not that bad of a person. What's the matter with them? Well, they're under no conviction. They're not, the Holy Ghost is not moving on their heart. They're not, they don't feel guilty for anything. They don't believe they're guilty for anything. I'm not talking about that. Bible says that it talks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said he preached repentance. Paul said that he believed in repentance and that God called all men everywhere to repent, Peter said. And that repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Amen. So that's all over the Bible. I'm not faulting these men. They actually preach and tell people to repent, you know, that you need to repent. But the problem is they add some things. And so repentance isn't adding to the gospel. Repentance is the gospel. It is part of the gospel. It is the heart that is prepared. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. That Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for you to go to heaven. Shut that door, please. He didn't die for you to go to heaven. I get to go to heaven. Amen. Because he saved me and washed me in his own blood. Yeah. But that's not why he died, so I could just go to heaven. He died because I needed a savior. Because I'm a sinner. Amen. So nobody's preaching. Nobody, when they talk about repentance, they're not saying, hey, listen, you got it. It's my works. No. It's God's work. I'm living in sin, and someone shows me the Savior. What do? I turn to Him and say, I need you. That's right. It's God's grace. It's not me. That's what I'm trying to... Oh, you just say... I had somebody say this to me today, and I wasn't planning on staying on this that long, but I'm good anyway. I had somebody say this to me today. Oh, you just believe you do these good works, and that's evidence of being saved. I said, no, wait a minute now. That's where you and I differ. See, I don't think I did that to me. I know I didn't do that to me because I was the guy that was dead in trespasses and sins. I was the guy that loved my sin and wanted to continue to sin. I didn't want to be saved from my sin, and the Holy Ghost of God convicted me one day and showed me, you're lost, you're dying, you're going to go to hell. And I didn't want to do that. I deserved it, and I knew I deserved it, but I didn't want to go there. Why? Because God was dealing with my heart. And then He changed me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What these people are trying to get me to believe is that I'm trying to do this to myself. No, I'm not doing anything like that. I couldn't change me. Can a leopard change his spots? I'm telling you, God Almighty did it through the blood of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It ain't a work of man. It's a work of God. It's not a work of man. And I have never said it was by any righteousness that I have held. Or I have. I have no righteousness but Christ. But His robe of righteousness that He gave. It's just, this is just ridiculous what people are pushing out there today. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, now, so I'm not talking about that when I say adding to the gospel. Repentance is not adding to the gospel, it's part of it. However, here's what these guys are doing. Well, first, let me give you just a recap of what this show is about. Okay, just so you can understand that. Compared to many shows on TV, it's probably isn't that bad. I mean, they don't really cuss. They don't do a lot of wild, nasty things on there like a lot of shows do. They are Hollywood, so go figure there's going to be some wickedness in there somewhere. There's going to be something wrong in there somewhere. Again, they had 11.8 million viewers for the season premiere. It says here, when I was reading in the articles about it, it says Duck Dynasty just made ratings history. Wednesday night's fourth season premiere was the most watched nonfiction series telecast in cable TV history. But I want to read you some quotes from some men of God and some other people that watched that show. An evangelist quoted on my Facebook page when I said, I'm going to look into this Duck Dynasty thing because they're Church of Christ. So, I did. And here's what this evangelist said to me. He said, I thought at first that Duck Dynasty was a wholesome show. I've only known about them for about 4 months now. I've watched it on DVD. After viewing a couple episodes, it became more of an exposing corruption than viewing for pleasure. Here is what I found. This is a preacher saying, this isn't Pastor Cooley, this is a preacher saying this, that watched it and admits that he watched it. The first year seemed funny. They seem to be a lot more carnal than I believe a Christian can get away with and be blessed by God. Not all financial blessings come from our God. Their women have no modesty about them and the men act like irresponsible idiots. Certainly nothing God-honoring there. However, as I watched season two, there seemed to be a bit more sexuality in their conversations, more immodest in their dress standards. So the devil gets the old foot in the door and it starts slipping in, then it starts to get worse, right? In season three, they got even worse. Repeatedly mentioning their organs, I'm not going to tell you, you know what I mean, right? And the season ending up with them all at a beach in Hawaii where they stripped down to almost nothing and laid on the beach with men talking perverse about a woman on a surfboard. I couldn't even watch several episodes because of that filth. I'm not going to waste any more time exposing them. I've seen enough. It is a typical satanic maneuver. Bait you in with seemingly innocent fun, get the hook in your jaw, and reel you into a cesspool of sin. It is so deceptive that God's people will defend Satan's bait because it tastes so good. Remember, he is still as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. End quote. That's from a pastor. I mean, I'm just putting this stuff online. I'm just putting a few quotes on there or a few things on Facebook. I've never watched the show. I watched a couple clips on YouTube the other day, and that was enough for me. That's all I needed. And again, it's not like the pornography that's out there, okay, that I call pornography that in regular sitcom shows, okay? So I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I don't want to give you the impression, oh, man, these guys are just the lewdest thing in the world. I'm not saying that, okay? I want to be fair, and I want to be honest, okay, about it. I'm not trying to just ruin these guys or anything. I'm not trying to do that, okay? I just want to be honest about what was there. Another lady gave this testimony, and she said, the couple of times my husband urged me to watch the show with him, I saw things that right away that gave me concern. Their appearance alone is suspect because of their long hair. Christian men would not go out in public with long hair like that. There are a lot of innuendos towards their wives. Yeah, that's right. That's another whole discussion. I had a lady get mad at me because I said, well, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. Well, she said, well, Paul said that it was okay. I said, no, Paul didn't say it was okay. He said, we have no such custom in the churches. But he didn't say it was okay. He didn't say it was okay to go against nature. Did he? No, Paul never said that in that chapter. By the way, why would Paul defeat his own purpose by talking about male and female through that whole chapter and then say, yeah, it doesn't matter at the end? That's not what he was saying. But there's a lot of people that want to just live absolutely lawless and don't care. We see that everywhere. Right. She said, oh, so you're telling me you have a, you know, you force people in your church to cut their hair? I was like, are you nuts? I mean, really? I mean, I don't force anybody to do anything here. I mean, I don't know what place, what churches these people, and maybe they do have some that are just these overbearing. I don't do that to you. I preach hard, but at the end of the day, I leave it up to God and let you go home and decide how you're going to serve the Lord and that you're going to give an answer to God, not to me. I don't want you to have the fear of man as a snare. I don't want you to fear me. I want you to fear God. I want you to look at the Bible and say, he's right. I want you to go home and look at it and read it and study it yourself and say, hey. Anyway, she goes on to say, there was a lot of innuendos toward their wives. It is almost constant and is highly unlike a Christian man to talk about his wife like that to other people. That's right, by the way. And I think it's sick and disgusting. Don't go talking about your your personal life. You know, there are pastors on pulpits that are talking about their marriage bed from the pulpit. Mark Driscoll's a pervert that has a satanic spirit about him that does it. There's some Baptists that do it too, or fundamentalists that do it too. Listen, nobody wants to come to church and hear about your intimate life, okay? Or the marriage, but that is none of anybody's business. Amen. It's disgusting. The Bible says it's sacred. It's not to be touched by somebody else, not to be talked about by somebody else. Just gross. Who wants to go to church and hear about that? Do you see the Apostle Paul? He said he preached a few times on things like that. What did he preach about? He said not to withhold yourself one from another. Did he go into intimate details? No. Did he try to draw you a map and tell you how to accomplish something? No. Why? Because it's in the nature of a man and a woman to figure all those things out. Amen. If there's something wrong with you, then obviously you won't be able to figure that out because there's something wrong with you. Spiritually. Right. Yeah, ask God to show you. That's right. But you don't need some man to come and get up and I call it the sexualization of the pulpit today. And it's there. It's sick. And it's happening I'm hearing about it all over the place. And there's just a group of fundamentalists that are a bunch of perverts out there. And they think they got to talk about that garbage. Nobody wants to hear that. And it's not even right. It's not even biblical. You need to grow up. Good night to morons. Anyway, she says that there's a lot of innuendos toward their wives. It's almost constant. It's highly unlikely that a Christian man would talk about his wife like that to others. The eldest one on that show talks about his wife in an adult, inappropriate ways. It is disturbing. The second show I saw, one of the wives got her husband to go to a yoga class with her. I was done at that point and told my husband that they are not real Christians, that the world is being duped. I detest that show, and I'm so happy that this is being brought to light. There was just somebody left a testimony on there about that. Another person said a red flag for them that came up was the fact that they play ZZ Top at the show's intro. Hardly a Christian song, or a Christian group, ZZ Top. I mean, I don't need to. Some of you, thank God you don't know who that is. You're just looking at me funny because you have no idea who ZZ Top is. Some of you others are regretting you even know who ZZ Top is. You're wishing you were like these ones that are looking at me funny right now that they don't know who ZZ Top is. But anyway, this person goes on to say, I've always felt uneasy about them in the show because Hollywood has its fingerprints all over it, especially the long hair on the men. And I also saw the men in a video doing that strange dance, which has infiltrated the churches. Now, they have a video. You guys, have any of you ever heard of the Harlem Shake? Have any of you ever heard of that? Look at that. It just sounds stupid saying it. Trust me, I am not going to do that. All right? I am not going to do that. But this Harlem Shake looks like this demonic dance that this church group started doing. By the way, the words are really strange because if you know the words in English, they're in Spanish. But you can Google search the words and what they're saying, but it's interesting. Anyway, they do this weird dance and they all start acting stupid. And have you seen that, Brother Joe, at all? No, never seen it. Well, good for you. Don't Google the Harlem Shake and don't watch it. It looks like a bunch of demon-possessed morons. And this is at a church. These are churches doing this stuff. Churches. There's thousands of videos on YouTube right now of churches doing the Harlem Shake. So these guys do it. They're supposed to be Christians, and they're supposed to be these fundamental Christians, and they're doing this weird, perverted, strange dance. They look like a bunch of demon-possessed morons. Amen. That's what they look like. Pastor Dan Harden at Gateway Anabaptist Church, this is a long time ago, he did a video, he was preaching, and they recorded it, and he was talking about dancing, how all this perverted dancing that goes on today is not what the Bible was. David jumping and shouting for the Lord, he wasn't doing all this seductive, nasty, dirty stuff that goes on today. That's not what it was. And anyway, so he talked about that a little bit, but Eric Frank, Brother Frank, you met him, he was here, and he retitled the video, The Answer to the Harlem Shake, or something like that, and he's really reproving that stupid moronic dance that they do. Anyway, but Just wanted you to know that and understand that that's part of the Harlem Shake. Listen, I flipped through a couple of the clips on YouTube, and the first one I heard was an innuendo right off the bat. It was an innuendo. I'm thinking to myself, is this supposed to be family wholesome fun or family, you know, I mean, whatever. Anyway, I didn't think it was very, very, very biblical, to say the least. Say, well, it's entertainment. Well, then if I shouldn't be entertaining myself on that then. Because I don't want to sit next to my son and say, hey, Dad, what's that mean? I don't want to explain that to him about that because I put it in front of his eyes, right? I don't want to do that. Do you? You want to explain to your children that at an improper time because they've been exposed to something they shouldn't have? Oh, you're making too big of a deal about it. Really? Your son's purity, your daughter's purity is too big of a deal? Their innocency and keeping them innocent is too big of a deal? I don't think it is. I don't think you can make a big enough deal about it. How about that? Amen? By the way, the men have the ladies again with the immodesty. The Bible says in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Bible also says about men with long hair, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Just from a few of the testimonies and a few of the clips on YouTube, one can see this is not Christian entertainment. Well, it's mild, yeah, compared to average television, yeah. But am I really comparing my life to average television? Am I really comparing what I'm to be watching to average television? Is that what I'm supposed to be comparing my life to? Man, I'm in trouble. If my measuring stick is not holiness and righteousness in Christ, but my measuring stick is the world and television? Wow. Then anything goes. Because guess what, folks? The world is going to wax worse and worse. The measuring stick is going to get worse and worse. They're allowing pornography on television now. Full frontal nudity on television. So, is that my measuring stick? Well, it's not that bad. Oh, okay. So pretty soon the line is going to be, well, they're only half naked. I'm more concerned with what they're teaching, what their doctrine is, what they've used their popularity to do. Now, let me start out this by saying, too, that I think these guys are sincere. All right. I really do. I think they think they're telling the truth. They're preaching the truth. They are elders in a church of Christ. Now, Brother Paul, being from in South in Texas, you understand the Church of Christ, don't you, brother? You know exactly, they're Campbellites, they're water dogs, whatever, that's what Ruckman calls them, water dogs, but there are a lot of things. The Campbellites is a dangerous movement that moved into Baptist churches, and it just about killed them. Back in the late 1800s, it just about killed them. Hundreds of good Baptist churches were swayed into Campbellitism. Campbellitism is this. It's a cancer, that's right. What it says is this. It says that you need to be baptized in water to be saved. It's faith in Christ, plus somebody has to water baptize you. If you died without water baptism, you're going to go to hell. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. That's right, baptize, yeah. If you, yeah. It's a cult. Yeah, it's a cult is what it is. It is a perversion of the truth. Campbellites, it is reversion. Now, if you Google Alexander Campbell, you will understand and look back. If you read Brother Beller's book on American Crimson Red, Brother Beller cites in that book how they almost destroyed the Baptist churches. They killed the revival in the South. The church revival. They killed it. They took away Jeremiah Vardaman. They took away a lot of good Baptists and they sucked them into that Campbellite movement. Alexander Campbell was an absolute amazing orator and an amazing, deceitful man with the scriptures. But he was amazing at doing it. He was very powerful and very convincing in his delivery. And he swayed a lot of people. Thank God at that time, though, some godly, strong Baptist men stood up and preached the truth and pulled a lot of those churches back out of that Campbellite movement. and they repented and got some churches back, but it was never the same again. He destroyed that. I mean, he's a very able man, and he went through and he swept through the churches, and man, did he wreak havoc. He ripped up churches, he destroyed them, all because he preached that you've got to be baptized to be saved. Repentance and faith is not enough in Christ. That's not enough, he said. You have to be baptized in water to be saved. Now, if that's the case, friend, what if somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, they repent of their sins, they trust Christ as their Savior, and they never get baptized? What about the thief on the cross? He's just damned to hell, even though Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. See, the scriptures always preface that. What they do is they take in the book of Acts, where he said, repent and be baptized. And they say, well, see, that's it. Yeah, but he clarifies it. Two or three verses down, he clarifies it that it's belief. It's not baptism that saves them. It's that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll prove that later, okay? I'm going to show you what the Bible says clearly the gospel is. All right? I'm going to show you that towards the end. But let's get into this heresy right here to understand. Let me say this first of all. We've got to stop divorcing our spiritual life from our entertainment. It's like we shut off our spiritual life and say, well, anything goes. We'll watch what we want. We'll do what we want. Well, you know. Yeah, you're saved, but you're being carnal. Amen? Nobody says you're not saved. You're being carnal. Again, Paul talked about being so removed. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Do you see how he said that twice? Why did he say that twice? You remember? Do you remember why he said that twice? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said it twice. I'm telling you again, he says, I don't care if an angel comes to you, to Joseph Smith, and tells him he's got the Book of Mormon. I don't care. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Amen. So what does the Church of Christ believe about salvation? The Duck Commanders are part of the Church of Christ. The Duck Dynasty boys. In other words, they're Campbellites. Alexander Campbell. I told you about him. I told you about his baptismal regeneration. By the way, baptismal regeneration is not new. Roman Catholicism taught it. The Protestants taught it. They all taught baptism saves you. You need to be baptized to be saved. They all taught that. Just a different form. The Campbellites, they really, what they did was, the Church of Christ guys, what they did was they just regurgitated Roman teaching with immersion. There is no salvation outside of the church. That's what they're teaching. I don't control salvation. I don't control somebody being saved. If I have to baptize you in order for you to be born again, that means your salvation is in my hands. Do you understand how wicked that is? Right, it's a work then. It means that I have to baptize you or you're not saved. So what if there's no authorized Church of Christ around you to baptize you? Well, then you're going to go to hell. Well, then where's Christ been in all that? Well, he doesn't. Now, they'll say he does. They'll say faith in Christ, yes, repentance and faith. They have they start out right with repentance and faith. They start out right when it comes to that. But then they say baptism. Now, we believe in being scripturally baptized. Listen, we're Baptists. We believe what the Bible says about being baptized scripturally in deep water after you've been born again. But it's because you're saved, not to save you. Amen. It's you want to identify with Christ and follow him in baptism. That is not to save you. Because in case you ain't figured it out yet, John the Baptist didn't get baptized. Think about that one for a while. Amen. That's right. Anyway, we'll clear that up with some scripture in a little while here. But it's the same old Roman heresy that there's no salvation outside of the church. Both of these men are preaching this. They don't talk about Jesus Christ saving them, but they say baptize them. They give testimonies. And one of the testimonies, these duck commanders online here, this Phil and this other guy, whatever his name is, I don't even care what their names are. But anyway, they're on there, and here's what they say. They say, well, you know, I met this guy, and he was cursing and everything else, and I told him, you know, why are you cursing the only one that can save you? And, you know, I agree with that. He was saying some good things. That was great. He said, the guy showed up a couple weeks later to us. You can watch this video online. He talks about this. He said, I told them about Jesus, and they were end up in tears. And he didn't say, and they got saved. He said, and we went out and baptized them. They always talk about somebody they baptized. They never talk about somebody who got born again by the Spirit of God. They talk about baptism. Well, like you've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, you don't get washed in the tub, you get washed in the blood. But what they do is they try to pervert that. And I'm going to show you this by an exchange that the Church of Christ has from their church. These duck commanders from their church that they're elders in, one of their ministries that talk about this. Rome taught that, first of all, let me backtrack here a little bit. Here we go. The Christian Chronicle has an article on their church, on that church that they go to, White's Ferry Road, Church of Christ, okay? That's where the Duck guys go, the Duck Dynasty guys go. A church of a small groups. The article lists the ministries of White's Ferry Road. One of those ministries is We Care Ministries, which is led by Director Larry West, who has 30 years of experience. In case anyone wondered whether or not the church and ministry are still connected, White's Ferry and the We Care have the same address, and it's on their website, so it's the same ministry. It's right there. Anyway. However, Larry West has a video on the We Care Ministries website called Step Into the Water. Is baptism essential? Why are you preaching baptism and not Christ? Do you see that? They're making a big deal about baptism. Listen, independent Baptists, I'm a historic Baptist, okay? I make a great deal about baptism, but it's not to save you. And it can't. It can't save you. I don't care how many times you get baptized, you will still die and go to hell without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing your sins. Do you really think that God Almighty in heaven would leave the power of salvation in my hands? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. This is a terrible heresy. You've got to understand this. I'm not doing this to be mean. I'm not doing this to be unkind. I'm doing it because it's a damnable heresy. It is damnable. We don't make light of baptism here. But baptism cannot save you. You'll still die and go to a sinner's hell. You might die wet, but you'll still die and go to hell. Anyway, West, into the water, is he says here, he says, steps into the water. Is baptism essential? West is very clear that baptism is essential for salvation. Toward the end of the video, West disregards the sinner's prayer and then explains that one is not saved until baptism. He also claims that baptism is not for the saved, but for the lost. Don't take my word for it. Watch for yourselves. You can look up the video. He's saying that baptism is for the lost. Why? Because that's the agent of salvation, he's saying. No, Christ Jesus is. Amen. It's not baptism. I'm telling you, you're looking at a preacher that understands what baptism is, okay? I understand what it is. And I don't make light of it. But you're not going to confuse Jesus Christ with baptism. There is no power in my hands to baptize you to save your soul. And if any man tells you that, you run from it as far as you can. We Care Ministries also has a gospel presentation called Focusing on Being Saved. Only in the blood of Jesus. which I will quote below. Note how one of the points in the presentation goes directly against one who professes faith alone for salvation. At the end of the gospel presentation, drawing it to a close, often the fundamentalist will say something like, but I have already been baptized, or I've already done that. Refer back to your detailed interview. This is their soul winning. Reminding him of his own story. Remind him. I don't remember why I was baptized. I just did what I was told to do. I was baptized to join my church. See, these are the reasons people give them, and they're trying to counter their reasons, okay? It's like it's a sales deal. I can't stand this garbage. Fundamentalists do this too, and it's just this playing games with people. I was baptized to show I had been saved. The most common are, I am already a Christian, I am already saved, I was saved when I believed in Jesus. This is their gospel presentation on their video here, okay? We've been told even I was baptized for permission to marry my wife. If any of these responses is the case, the following is good to do. The soul winner should say this, do you remember that you told me in your own words I was saved the night during the prayer, the sinner's prayer? The prospect says yes. The soul winner says, and that you told me it occurred at a certain time and then you were baptized the next Sunday? Yes, says the prospect. May I kindly ask you, says the soul winner, can a person be saved outside of the blood of Jesus? In him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The prospect says, why no, you can't be saved without the blood of Jesus. The soul winner says, the gospel enacted, point to the cross and ask, when was the blood of Jesus shed? But when they came to Jesus and saw him that he was already dead, this is not our scriptures, okay? I don't know what they're using, but this isn't scripture, okay? I'm just telling you what they're quoting here. It probably isn't King James either, but I'm just giving you what they're saying here. He was already dead. They did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and immediately blood and water came out. The prospect said that was his death that he shed his blood. That's right, says the soul winner. Now, according to the Bible, pointing to Romans 6:3, here's where the big swerve comes. Watch this. When do we get into the death of Jesus where the blood washed? Now turn to Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. I'm going to show you what these perverts do. Yep, they are creeps. Romans chapter 6. Verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. They twist this and they say that this, the only way you can have the shed blood of Jesus is through a Church of Christ baptism, elder administering baptism unto you. So what they're saying is they control the blood of Christ. See? That doesn't say that there. Even if you said there's differences of opinion on these verses, whether those are baptismal verses, whether it's a picture, whatever, I don't care what your understanding of that text is. That is not talking about baptism saving your soul. Water baptism saving your soul. That is not saying that there. That doesn't say you get the blood of Jesus by being water baptized. You get the blood of Jesus by faith. Amen. So, the soul winner says, it's into the water, into the death, into the blood of Jesus. Is that correct? Yes, says the prospect. So, according to the Bible, our sins must be in the presence of the blood of Jesus for the blood to affect them or to cancel them, correct? Yes, says the prospect. So, should we bring our sins to the crucified Savior? I mean, isn't it apparent those sins must be present for the blood to do the cleansing? Yes, says the prospect. So how could you have been saved on that front seat in that prayer still outside of the blood of Jesus? Do you see what they did? They just said that you can't be saved by faith. It's faith. It's repentance and faith plus water baptism. Because you can't have the blood of Jesus unless you get water baptized. So your sins aren't forgiven upon faith in Christ. Upon repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that's not enough. You've got to be water baptized by us. Otherwise, you're not saved. Right. Well, it's just the same old Roman control. That's what it is. It's the same old control. I can control your salvation. You're going to go to hell without me. Dangerous. Do you see why? Now, this man is not one of the duck commanders, but you're going to find out how close he is to them in a second. So how could you have been saved? So then he says, how could you have been saved on that front seat in that prayer still outside the blood of Jesus? I couldn't, says the prospect. You told me you, whatever, didn't know why you were baptized, or were baptized to join a church, or were baptized to show you had already been saved. The soul winner says again, can a person be saved outside the blood of Jesus? No. I need to be baptized again then, don't I? Well, that is only for you to decide. I'm only the teacher of the gospel. I would recommend, however, that let's go back into the water and you point to the top of the first arrow, draw a stick figure, write the word sin, consciously take your sins down into death of Jesus, point with the pen downward to the bottom of the arrow, then to the cross where the blood was shed, write the word blood there. Then write the word sin there. Then to make your salvation sure, you can know you have taken your sin to the crucified Savior, Jesus, so that His blood can do its work. Oh, okay, I forgot. So Jesus needs my help to save you by His blood. That's what they're saying. They're saying, well, listen, you see, Jesus needs Elder Cooley's help in saving you by baptizing you, so you're needs my baptism to do that. That's what they're saying. Don't you get it? What is that? Control. You'll come to my church if I can save you. You'll stay in my church if I can save you. You'll give if I can save you. Now they won't say that. They'll say, no, that's not what we believe. Yes, it is what you believe. You just said it. You just told somebody they can't have the blood of Jesus until you baptize them. That means you control the blood of Jesus in your little baptismal waters in a vial somewhere, and you can administer the blood of Jesus to me. You creep. You sick creep. That's disgusting. You're saying you control salvation then. So what if there's nobody around to baptize you? Well, you go to hell then. God would never leave my salvation up to you. You understand that? God would never leave your salvation up to me. No. Not in the least bit. Well, that's for you to decide, he says. And then he goes through this whole rigmarole here. Then to make your salvation sure, you can know you have taken your sins to the crucified Savior Jesus so that His blood can do its work. Wouldn't you want to obey the gospel so that you can go to heaven? Keep silent and don't break silence. Don't comfort until the person answers each question. It's like a psychological game. You've been baptized, but have you obeyed the gospel? Go back and ask the question again. May I ask, would you please read Acts 22:16 and give God your response? By the way, just so you know, who is this Larry West guy? Larry West is the director of We Care Ministries. He's the father of Duck Dynasty star Missy Robertson, the wife of Jace Robertson. He's the father of one of the Duck guys' wives. So if you think these guys aren't all connected when they're all part of the same church, all part of the same doctrine, they're all right there. They're all connected. They're all the same. That's what they believe. They're very subtle about it. They're very subtle about it. But that's what they believe. I also watched a video of him preaching for Rick Warren. One of these the Duck Commander Phil guy. He preached for Rick Warren. Now, Rick Warren is a devil. So if you expect me to believe that anybody's preaching something good that preaches with Rick Warren or for Rick Warren, I already know you got to be part of that spirit. Because Rick Warren is an evil man. He is a false prophet. He preaches a false gospel. He preaches Chrislam. Yeah, he just has a picture on YouTube or on Twitter the other day of him and this Cat Stevens who became a Muslim, a full-fledged Muslim, and he has a picture with him on. He says, "Oh, I just got visited by him." And he's laughing and smiling, and it's all good. All just getting ready to usher everybody into a one-world religion. Somebody tried to defend that and say, well, maybe they didn't know who Rick Warren is. Really? So you're in Hollywood and you don't know who Rick Warren is. You're a millionaire. You're in Hollywood. You know who Rick Warren is, really? And you're supposed to be a Christian. He knows exactly who Rick Warren is. They knew exactly who he was. I'm not saying the man had malicious intent. I think he's probably a nice guy. I think he's wrong. I know he's wrong. And if you trust baptism to save you, you're going to die and go to hell. Because baptism don't save nobody. It's just a picture. It's a wonderful picture. It's more than that. It's an identifier. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God, the Bible says. I watched him as he went on Rick Warren. I watched this clip and he was saying that faith, he was talking about faith and being baptized and how they never talk about somebody being saved. They always say, or born again. They always say, and I baptized this person and I baptized this person. And I took him down to the lake and I baptized him. Really? Not they got saved by the grace of God, but they got baptized. Now I want to read you a testimony from a pastor friend of mine, Brother Brandon Teague. And I want you to just listen to this. He said, "As for my family, I have fully informed them of the error that the Robertson family teaches. They understand the dangers of that teaching. Brother Cooley, I commend you for making others aware of the dangerous errors they teach. Can I simply say how silly it is for Christians to make role models out of reality show performers? Last month, on our way back from vacation, we passed through West Monroe, I guess it's Louisiana. My kids wanted to visit the Duck Commander warehouse as it was a few blocks off the interstate. What I saw was a ridiculous tourist trap. I saw city folks, northerners, even foreigners coming in dressed in camo, expecting to see what they see on TV. What they found was an extremely overpriced gift shop run by college kids and trinkets galore. If I had any respect for the Robertson family, it ended on that day. They are not role models. They are religious people that believe a false gospel and are becoming multimillionaires by a gullible public. Having said all that, I believe that Phil Robertson is sincere. He is sincerely lost. I believe he does express some good country horse sense on the show, but in the end, it's all show business." So he's saying, you know, good testimony by Pastor Brandon. What he's saying is, yeah, we went to the warehouse. You know, it's nothing simple about going to a warehouse. They're duck calls, you know. I mean, big deal. You can buy them. There's nothing wrong with buying them. Nothing wrong with doing that or anything. Or nothing wrong with their business they have. They have a good business. They probably do honest business and everything else. My problem with them is what they preach. They preach a false gospel. They preach a gospel that baptism saves you. You know, the Apostle Paul was very clear about salvation. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please. What's the gospel then? Is it baptism? Is the gospel part of baptism then? Or is baptism a part of the gospel? Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wait, Paul didn't say that he was going to baptize him, did he? He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? He said, for it is the power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You mean not through baptism? No, through the gospel. Through the gospel. He says it's the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Verse number 13. We're almost done here. We went long, but it's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Did you catch that? This is so simple that you have to miss this on purpose. Do you understand that? You have to miss this on purpose. Do you agree with that? Brother Paul, do you agree with that? Do you have to miss this on purpose? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. What's he saying? The same thing he said in Romans chapter 1. Okay. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we'll be done. Now, wait a minute. Brother Paul, what happened to the Apostle Paul here? He said Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, does that mean that if he wasn't baptizing all these people, he left them in hell then? Now, by the way, those aren't verses that say that we don't need to be water baptized after we believe and repent and believe the gospel. No, the Bible says we're to be baptized. The Great Commission says that, but not for salvation, not to earn salvation. Not that the power of the gospel is in my, or the power of saving you is in my hands, or in the administrator's hands. You really think God would leave that up to sinful men to decide who's saved? Really? Come on, this is common sense. For all the horse sense and common country sense that these duck dudes have, what's wrong with them? Why can't they read simple Bible? I'll give them some northern sense then. Let me give him some northern biblical sense. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Paul calls it my gospel. Paul's saying the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's not baptism. Baptism is not the gospel. Amen. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, my heart must turn to Christ and believe it. Amen. The Bible says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Paul said he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said nothing about baptism being necessary to save you. If it was, and only by a Church of Christ ordained elder, then the gospel and your salvation would be left up to the hands of men. God didn't give you His word to leave salvation up to the hands of man. Jesus didn't die on an old rugged cross, shed His blood, be buried, and rise again from the dead to have salvation left up to some other man. No, it's up to Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid for salvation. Don't make a man God and say that His hands baptizing you will save you. No. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Duck Dynasty is wicked. It's another gospel. It's the gospel of the Church of Christ is not from God. It's not found in His Word. It's made up. It's perverted. It's contorted to be something. It represents itself as something it is not. It is not the gospel of Christ. Amen?